You'll get the idea of the message, and then I hope that you will want to follow the rest of the message. I'm not a blacksmith. I've heard the word bellows all my life, and I think I know what they are. The word bellows is used for several different instruments. We were talking about it this morning in the office, the pastor study with the streeter, with the post, and I were talking about it. And we all in general were agreed as to what the word bellows means to us. I saw some once, an instrument that had two handles and you pushed it together like this. Basically, though there are other instruments that are called the same term, basically, it was an instrument that would, by being pushed together, it would cause wind to blow on the fire and cause the fire to rage in the blacksmith shop. Now, in this particular story, Jeremiah is represented by the bellows. The people are called silver. The silver is being put in the fire to be refined. You and I know that silver and gold is refined by burning. So the people are put in the fire to be refined. And I won't go into the use of quicksilver. Time will not permit. But the lead was used as quicksilver. But Jeremiah uses this little parable in saying before the silver was refined, the lead was melted, and the bellows were burned. Which means that the silver became counterfeit silver, not counterfeit silver, but less than what it ought to be. In fact, the word is used, I forget exactly what word is used here, Jeremiah says, reprobate silver shall men call them. So here's the silver. Jeremiah wants to put it in the fire, and he wraps it in the lead, and then he takes the bellows and begins to push the wind toward the fire to make the flames bigger, to make the fire flame. But the silver doesn't respond. Before you know it, the lead is melted. Before you know it, the bellows are burned. And the silver is reprobate silver. It is not what it could have been had it been formed or allowed itself to be formed while the bellows were still being used and before the lead was melted. Now listen carefully to this. Jeremiah pictures himself as being the bellows. He, as the preacher, was the one to put wind to the fire. The people are the silver. They're the ones Jeremiah was trying to refine. He was trying to make something of the people. And by the wind. And I think he's talking about that kind of wind. Preaching. He preached to a preacher preaches rather long. You call him long-winded. I don't know anybody like that, but I've heard that in Arkansas they have some. And we call him long-winded. Why? Because it's wind. You say he's a long-winded fellow. Or a fellow talks a great deal, or a lady talks a great deal, and doesn't say much, we say he's a fair. You see? Well, Jeremiah said, I am the bellows. I keep putting wind to the fire. He said, I want to keep the fire burning. So you, as the silver, may be refined and may be the very best silver you can possibly be. But, Jeremiah said, before you will become refined, the lead is melted and the bellows are burned. Here's what he's saying. He said, I'm burned out. He said, I have preached and I have warned and I have helped and I have begged and I have pleaded and I have exhorted. And he said, my lungs are tired. I've preached and he said, what's happened is this. You've worn out the bellows. You have absolutely burned the bellows. He said, I am the instrument, Jeremiah said, that God has given to you to make you refined, to make you better, to make you what you ought to be. But he said, I'm worn out. The bellows are burned. See, Jeremiah is saying, I'm exhausted. My heart is broken. I'm burned out. And finally, Jeremiah said, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? May I say this? Did you know that that's what you are? In this parable, you are silver, and I am the bellows. My job as your preacher to try to refine you, It's my job as your preacher to try to keep the wind blowing on you so the fire can flame. In the Bible, wind symbolizes the power of God. Over in the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, it says the Spirit of God came as a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the place. And it's my job to try to get you refined. But let me say this, that you must be refinable. I recall years ago in East Texas, years ago, I had an old fellow came out of the service several Sundays in a row, and he didn't like me. Now, why, I don't know. I never have understood why folks don't like me. But he didn't like me. And he came out, he said, "I didn't get nothing out of your sermon, Reverend." And I said, "I'm sorry, I'll try to do better." The next Sunday he came out and said, "Didn't get nothing out of your sermon, Reverend." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry about that. I'll pray with me about it then." Next Sunday he came out and he said, "Didn't get nothing out of your sermon, Reverend." Well, I took about all I could take of that. And so about after 6 or 8 Sundays, he came out one day and he said, "I didn't get nothing out of your sermon." I said, "You didn't bring nothing to get it in." Now, you see, you got to bring something to get it in. You are silver. Now, I want to refine you. Young folks, I want you to be the very best you can possibly be. And so I, as the bellows, I push and I push and I blow and I blow. Why? I'm trying to make something out of you. Sometimes I think I'm failing, but I'm trying to make something out of you, you see. And the tragic thing is many of you will let the bellows burn before you'll ever become refined silver. As Christian people, new Christians especially, I want you to grow in grace. I want you to be faithful to church. I want you to come to Sunday night service. I want you to come back on Wednesday night. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to pray. I want you to witness. I want you to tithe. I want you to be all that God has for you and be all that God wants you to be and have all that God has to give you. And so I keep pulling them, fishing the wind. The bellows keep going. But if you don't watch out, the bellows can burn before the silver is refined. Now, I'll make 2 comments this morning, and I hope you'll listen very carefully. The first thing I want to say is this. And I hesitate to say anything like this because it may sound like I'm bragging. I'm not. I do not think I'm a great preacher. I do not think in any sense of the word. I'm not a great orator. I'm not a great pulpiteer. But there's one thing I'm long on, and that is sincerity. And I say this honestly. Not is that I've been the best preacher that you could have had, but I'll say this. In these 11 and a half years, I have given myself, literally given myself, to make you and yours what God wants you to be. Now, that's the truth. I've not done everything right. I've made some mistakes. I've been stubborn. But I have not spared myself. I have given myself. You parents, God knows this is true. God hears what I say, and He knows this is true. I have given myself to try to make your children what they ought to be. Now, the bellows have been giving the air. I was thinking last night, I worked late at the office last night till 1:35 or so, and I was behind, had to catch up, and so much to do in the spring program to play school and other things. And I was driving home a little before 2, and I got thinking about this text. You know, I preach over three times a day, have for over 14 years now. Now, I preach often, 8 or 9 times a day. I speak that many times. And almost every day when I'm gone, I preach at least 4 times a day. But you know what? On Sunday night, now I teach my class on Sunday morning. I preach on Sunday morning. I teach my class on Sunday night or have a question and answer session. And then I preach on Sunday night. But you know, I am exhausted on Sunday night. Literally exhausted. Now I preach harder with more vigor sometimes in conferences around the country where I speak. I sometimes preach physically more active. But I was thinking, now Monday night, I don't take any days off. I tell preachers across the country, I know preacher after preacher that preaches twice a week. That's all he preaches, twice a week. And after he preaches on Sunday, he's such a nervous wreck because he's preached on Sunday on my peace I give unto you. And he's such a nervous wreck on Monday, he's got to play golf so he can calm his nerves. And I often say, if you played golf like I do, you'd have to preach on Monday to calm your nerves after you played golf. But I preach time and time again, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, again and again and again. And yet I never go to bed as exhausted on Tuesday. Last Tuesday, I preached. I was up speaking to people for 6 hours last Tuesday. 6 hours. I spent 6 hours preaching. Today I won't spend that long. Let's see, I'll spend about an hour and a half this morning and an hour and 45 minutes tonight. But no, I won't spend that long. 6 hours Tuesday. I wasn't exhausted when I went to bed. When I sleep on Sunday night, I don't keep the cover on. I don't want anything on top of me. I don't care if it's 40 below zero. I don't want anything on top of me. I just kick the cover off and sometimes I wake up freezing. But I'm like that. I don't want anything on me. And so I kick the cover off. But now, funny thing, I can preach 8 or 10 times on Tuesday. I never kick the cover off. You say, why? Well, I'll tell you why. Listen carefully. Here's a fireman. Every time there's an alarm, he does his best. He has a compassion for, let's just take Burnside here. Here, Lowell, you're a fireman, Lowell. Let's suppose, Lowell, that and he's a good fireman. He's a good man. Lowell's a fine man, and he's a good fireman. And so every time the fire bell alarm rings, he does his best. He goes to the fire. If anybody called in the house, he'll fight his way in, and he's filled with compassion. He'll pull them out and do his best. Why? Because he's a fireman. He's a good fireman. But one day, you let a fire alarm ring, and Lowell starts down the street in a fire truck with a siren blowing, and suddenly he says, that's in Munster. And the closer he gets, he says, that's in my neighborhood. And the closer he gets to it, he says, that's in my block. And before you know it, he says, that's my house. That's my house. Oh, he pulls out the same ladder, and he pulls off the same hose, and he uses the same axe to chop his way in. And he always has given his best. But there's a certain intensity. Those are my kids inside. That's my wife on the inside. They're mine. And so he plunges in. He always does his best. But there's something beating in his breast that's different. Now, last Tuesday, I preached in Sacramento, California. I did the best I could. When I sat down Tuesday night after I finished preaching, I asked myself, I wonder how many times a guy can preach that hard and still live. And I did the best I could. But there's something about it. When I went to bed, I could keep the cover on Tuesday night. What's the difference? I'll tell you. You're mine. That's what the difference is. You're mine. Kids, I want every teenager in America to be what he ought to be, but you're my kid. When I preach to you, there's a certain kind of a burden, there's a care, there's a concern, there's a heartbeat, there's a tension that I don't have with anybody else's kids. Why? You're mine, and you're my people. And all these 11 and a half years, God knows this is true. I've tried to push the bellows together. I've tried to keep the wind. Why? So the fire can flame, and you can be refined and be what God wants you to be. You take a doctor who works hard and he tries to make his patients well and minister the right medicine. But one day his own child is rolled into surgery. And one day he rolls up his sleeves and washes his hands and puts on those gloves and takes the scalpel and goes into the surgery in the operating room, and the light beams down on the breast of his own little child. And that doctor's done this many times before, but there's a certain anxiety he's never had before. There's a love he's never known before. There's a tenderness he's never known before. And that's what Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah is saying, I've tried. I've given my best. But he said, the bellows are burned. And so may I say, I mean this. I've given in these years. I've tried to make you what you ought to be. I've tried to help your children. I've tried to help your teenagers. I've tried to help them to grow up, be what they ought to be. And I've given myself. A couple. Oh, it's been 5 or 6 years ago, came to my office one day, and they said, Pastor, we're leaving. And I said, where are you going? They said, to another church. I said, where? And they said, in the neighborhood here, not far away from here. I said, why? Well, we just feel like our work here is finished. And when they left, I put my head in my hands, and I said, doesn't it mean as much to the people as it does to me? I mean, I've given myself. I have cried and prayed and bled for their children. I have longed and preached and hoped and scolded and put. The bellows have been pushed and pulled to make something out of them. Oh, let me say, my precious friend, you're my people, and I want God to use you and make you what you ought to be, and that's why I give myself. The other day, and I know some have gotten away. I know we failed on some. But it's not because we didn't try. It's not because we weren't sincere. I thought last night, I'm willing to burn out. I don't mind burning out, but I sure would like for the wind to be used to fan the flame so you can be refined and be what you ought to be. The other day, I was in my office, and I was reading the prayer list. I don't think I've ever been as crushed, especially on the broadcast. I was reading the prayer list, and I had a big, long stack there. They bring them in, and pray for an unspoken request, and pray for a husband whose wife's beating him, and all of you use your request, you know. And pray for unspoken request, and pray for a man looking for a job, and pray for somebody taking a trip, and so forth. And then it said, pray for, I think PFC was Glenn Bear. Oh, I know Glenn, one of our boys. Grew up in our church here. I was reading it, and I wondered what he was going to pray. And it said he was injured in Vietnam. And then it said he had an arm amputated. And I had to stop. Our boy, arm amputated, Glenn Bear, sat over here with you kids. One of our own. And after it was all over, I put my head on the desk. And I said, dear God, I remember. I recall. I was worried about Glenn. He was doing some things he shouldn't do. And I prayed. And I preached. And I'd say, stand still! Listen to me! I knew he needed it. But I couldn't get him to listen. And I thought, one day, I went to my office and I said, I guess I've lost the boy. I guess he's just not going to make it. And I had prayed and I had worked and hoped and pleaded for all those years. And then one day, blessed be God, Glenn came down the aisle and he said, Brother Hiles, I have really been saved. And God saved him. And Glenn became a good boy. All the things he had done, he quit. And his life began to count for God. He came to my office one day and he said, Pastor, I want to talk to you about in the future. And I said, Glenn, I think you ought to go to a Christian college. And then one day he walked down this aisle and said, God's called me to be a preacher. He went to Pillsbury Baptist College in Owatonna, Minnesota. Dr. Cederholm was president there then. And he said, Glenn's one of the finest boys on the campus. And was going to mount to something. His family moved out to Idaho. But Glenn, before he went to service, came all the way from Idaho to Hammond so he could move his membership back to First Baptist so this could be his home church while he was in service. And one day we prayed for him and gave him a testament. His arm is gone. His arm is gone. And I sat there in the study and I thought those years, well, let me say this, I mean this, 10,000 times you kids lose an arm but not to be what God wants you to be. 10,000 times you lose an arm. Some of you parents, listen, you parents that have a chance to rear your children right. And I thought last night this too. If you grow up in First Baptist Church Hammond, with and all we preach, and all we care, and all the tears we shed, and all the plans, and all the choirs, and all the groups, and the high school, and all the rest of it, you don't amount to something. God pity your wicked soul. Some of you parents be a lot better off. You just cut your kid's arm off and what you're doing to him. A little girl came to me, said, Brother Hiles, would you pray that my mommy and daddy will let me go to the high school? She began to cry. Her mommy and daddy are good people. They're faithful. And I love them. They couldn't afford it. That's a strange thing. Mommies and daddies can afford other things. Many things they could afford. Well, they couldn't afford that. Oh, let me say, we are spending ourselves thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, our time, our life. And in many cases, I make enemies. Why? Because I want you to amount to something. I keep pushing the bellows in God's dear name. Become something. Become something. Some get away, but they don't get away without us trying and crying. We lose some. We've lost some kids. I don't mean they changed churches. I mean we've lost them to wicked colleges and lost them to atheism and lost them to modernism and lost them to infidelity and lost them to indecency. We have some kids who sat in these pews right here who are hippies now. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. God, help us. We've had them. Let me ask you a question this morning. What kind of bellows have you been? Teacher, what kind of bellows have you been? Have you spent yourself with your class? Have you spent yourself with your bus route? Have you spent yourself with your department? Have you spent yourself at the high school? Have you spent yourself to do the best you can to push and pull the bellows? Why? So we can fan the flame and cause the blaze to soar and cause the silver to be refined. So I say, in the first place, I've given myself. I say often, when I pray for our kids, I say, dear God, we haven't got a one to spare. And there have been times when I've said to the devil, you dirty rascal, you. I like the way Billy Sunday used to look down and say, oh, you old devil in hell, old sweaty face, come on up and let's go a few rounds. I've said to the devil, okay, you may get one of these kids. I'm just pointing over here because most of them are over here, but our kids, you may get one. You may get one, but you've got to fight all your life before you do. Young people, you may not mount anything. You may go off to some wicked heathen college that shakes your faith and laughs at the Bible and makes fun of the old-time religion and calls fundamentalist bigots and makes fun of the gospel and says the new birth is a hoax and that there's nothing to the Word of God. You may do it, and you may be lost the Word of God into the cause of Christ. But I'll tell you what, devil, before you get one of our kids, you're going to have a fight on your hands, because I'm going to preach to them, and I'm going to cry, and I'm going to plead, and I'm going to beg, and I'm going to counsel, and we're going to work with them in the music groups, and we're going to build a high school, and we're going to build an elementary school, and you wicked old devil, you horned red rascal, you forked-tailed demon, you go ahead. You try to steal our kids! And you may get one, but when you do, you'll know you've had a fight on your hands, and we'll do our best. And oh, in this day, listen, I'm going to preach tonight on they shall run and not be weary. I'm going to talk on running tonight, and I'm going to say something like this. The devil's running. He's busy. He's doing all he can to blow out the flame. Let's accelerate our efforts to keep the bellows moving. Parents, in God's name, listen to what we say. In God's name, heed our exhortation. In the name of Christ, believe what I'm telling you. I've been preaching now a long time. I had a dream the other night. Maybe it's because of Bob Keyes, by the way, is doing some better. I called him just a while ago before the service. And my buddy. And I had a dream the other night about the old gang I used to run with. I saw George Lovell. And George always thought a little mischievous kind of guy. And Bob Lovell. Bob, one of the best buddies I had. Bob's over here in Illinois now, a liberal preacher. Doesn't believe the Bible. And I thought, wonder how he got away. I wonder how he got away. Now, the bellows. Let me say this now. Second thing. First is, I have given myself as bellows. Second thing, you are to respond as silver. You're to respond. All I can do is, I can't call it or refine you. All I can do is just push the bellows and cause the wind to blow. Now, you're to respond as silver. Jesus likened us to children playing in the marketplace. One day he saw children playing in the marketplace, and he said, that's the way my people are. Listen, I'll tell you a sweet story. He said, the children can't decide on what to play. Half of them want to play wedding, and the other half want to play funeral. And so he said that the ones that want to play wedding, they began to dance like the wedding and be happy like a wedding and play the wedding march, we'll say, but the bride won't come down the aisle because she wants to play funeral. A lot of brides wish they had to play funeral instead of wedding. But she wants to play funeral. And Jesus said, when the wedding march is played, this is about what he meant, when the wedding march is played, she won't come down the aisle. And so she says, I won't play funeral. And so what they do, they play the mournful funeral dirge, and the corpse won't stay in the casket. The little boy said, she said, be still now, be still. I was driving down Sibley Street one day. Got down here just across the street from where that school is. School wasn't there then. The new school, Lafayette, is that it? And the school wasn't there then. And across the street from the school, there's a mud puddle. And I saw three or four little kids, and they come to Sunday school here, and the mud puddle was about that big, and they had little dogs. And one little boy had that dog around the neck of his left hand, his right hand up in the air, and he said, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Master, and upon a public profession of your faith in him, I baptize you, Fido, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. He took that dog with an oath and stuck him down in the... He said, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And I laughed and chuckled. That's what Jesus is saying here. Some kid said, I want to play funeral. And so stay in the casket. But the corpse doesn't want to play funeral. The corpse wants to be a groom instead. The corpse wants to play wedding. And the Lord said, yeah, they piped the funeral dirge, but you don't act like it's a funeral. And somebody says, well, we play the wedding march and you won't come down the aisle. Jesus said, that's the way you are. That's the way you are. He said, I preach, repent. You won't repent. I say, tithe. You won't tithe. I say, be faithful. You won't be faithful. I wish all of you could pastor a church sometime and be the bellows and watch the silver as many times it won't be refined. May I say this? Jeremiah was the bellows, and he burned out. Did you know sometimes God will move a preacher from a certain place because the people won't do what he says? I was thinking about this last night. Do you know how long I'll be your pastor? Do you know how long I'll be your pastor? God will keep me here as long as you respond to what I say. You see, Jeremiah said, I have exhausted myself. My lungs are tired. My heart is broken. My mind is weary. My body is tired. I've been pushing and pushing and pushing, and you won't do what I exhort you to do. He said, the silver is still not refined, but the bellows are burned, and now the silver will have to be unrefined. And so it's your job. It's your job. When the pastor comes with a message from God, it's your job to heed what he has to say. I talked to one of our young preachers of the day, and he came to see me and said, Pastor, he said, I've never listened to you. Oh, I've listened to you, but I've never taken your advice. And he said, I'm not happy. I've made my own decision. He said, I haven't used the decision of the wise counselor that I believe you are. And he said, I've come to the place in my life where I'll take your advice now. I'll take your advice. And after we'd prayed and talked and I advised him, he hugged me around the neck and he said, I love you more than I ever loved you before. Now, I'm not saying that I'm God. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I am saying that God gives his man oftentimes some wisdom that the common people do not possess. And I'm saying when I say in God's name, do so and so, you ought to carefully consider doing what the preacher has to say or says they suggest you to young people. For example, I don't think it's wise for young folks to go steady. Now, I don't blame some of you fellows for wanting to go steady. As ugly as you are, you ought to get her name written in blood. But I don't think it's wise to go steady. Now, I think that going steady is a sign of insecurity and a sign that you don't feel like you can keep her unless you get her on the dotted line. Now, I'm not to go steady. That's okay. When I was a kid, I went steady once. I think for 3 or 4 days. I'm not sure how long. But I'm not saying that it's a sin, but I do think that you ought to heed the advice and counsel of those who love you. The day's going to come. The day will come. Now, whether it'll be that you'll be taken away, or whether it be that I hope I preach here many years, but if the Lord were to take me on to heaven, or if somehow that I preach here another 30 years and then I go to heaven, or if you go to heaven first, or if God calls me somewhere else, or if God moves you somewhere else, the day is going to come when the bellows will not be with the silver anymore. And so I, as the bellows, must give myself completely to say, I want to do the best I can to make you what you ought to be. I recall that night, back to Glen Bear again, I recall that night that I, after the service, I won't go into the story. It wasn't a sordid thing, but it was discouraging. But I found that Glenn had not been what I thought he was, what I wanted him to be. And I went back to my office, and I said, Lord, I've done my best. You know I have. I've done my best.
I've preached and I've begged and I've cried and I've helped and I've talked and I've warned and I've witnessed and I've done my best. You know I have. Now, that's what I want to do. And I'll say this much. When I picked up the little paper and said Lynn had lost his arm, I couldn't say anything for a while on the broadcast. I just sort of sat there for a while in silence. But I wasn't near as sad as I was the night I thought his life was gone for God. Not near as sad. This morning, may I ask you this? Are you a teenager? Are you a child? May God help you to be what you ought to be. And Brother Hiles says, sit still and listen! You know why he wants you to sit still and listen? Because he has something he wants you to hear. He has something. I'm thinking about a boy. He's sitting over here right now. I'm worried sick about him. Absolutely worried sick about him. I've cried about him. I've prayed for him. I've preached to him. And I'm just absolutely scared to death. He's gone. Absolutely scared to death. One of our fine boys, a good boy. He may know who I'm talking about right now. And I hope you do. Not because I'm mad at you. But that boy, if I'm saying a word and he's not listening and I say, you sit still, you be quiet, hear me while I'm preaching. I'm not being an old goat. And I'll say this. A lot of you folks that criticize a preacher for that ought to go home and get on your knees and thank God the preacher wants your kid to listen to what he has to say. The bellows are being pushed. The wind is blowing. Why? People say, well, Brother Howell's a little sensitive today. Brother Howell is he's a little tired and weary because the least little thing upsets him. You haven't got enough sense to get out of the rain. Well, I don't get upset because of that. I get upset because some poor young person needs to hear what I've got to say. Last week, I called down a couple of young girls. You know why? Tell you why? Because one of the two I have hopes for. She's always been a good girl, but I have hopes she's going to be a great Christian. And I've seen some progress lately. Dr. Billings, the high school, has had a great influence on many of our young people, and this young girl in particular. I've seen some progress. And I was preaching something I thought she needed to hear, and she wasn't listening. And so I scolded. Why? Because I wanted her to hear, that's why. And so the bellows are pushing. This morning, if you're not living for God, heed the wind of the bellows. This morning, if you're not saved, I pray you'd heed the wind of the bellows. The bellows are willing to burn, if they'll burn for the silver to get refined. The thing that broke Isaiah's heart, Jeremiah's heart, not that he was tired. Jeremiah didn't say, one time he did say, he said, I think I'll just quit preaching. But he said, the word of God was in my fire, in my bones like a fire. I could not contain myself. One time Jeremiah said, I wish I could just rent me a room in a hotel by the wayside and just sort of hide out for a while. But Jeremiah wasn't heartbroken because he was tired. Every preacher gets tired. Jeremiah wasn't heartbroken because he was weary. Everybody gets weary. Jeremiah was heartbroken because he'd gotten weary for nothing. For nothing. Listen to me, lady. How many ladies ever had carried a baby and it died in infancy or at birth? Would you lift your hand, please? I've always felt for you ladies. You know, it's not so bad to waddle when you walk. As Dr. Rice says, wear hatching jackets for nine months. It's not so bad to eat sour pickle at midnight and watermelon at 2 o'clock in the morning. Be out of sorts with everybody. You can't lay down, you can't sit up, and you can't walk. If you walk, you fall over frontwards. If you lie down on your back, you're like a piece of spaghetti that swallowed an olive. If you lie down on your stomach, you're like a rocker on a chair. You don't feel good. You have morning sickness. You lose your breakfast. You suffer the night before. But then the day comes and the doctor stands beside you in pain and in the cry of the baby. Sort of worth it all, isn't it? But I've always felt for you ladies that had to go through the same suffering, the same discomfort, the same pain, the same labor. And the doctor came and said, we did what we could. it probably wouldn't have been normal anyway. I've always felt for you. It's not so bad if the preacher and the deacons and the staff and the teachers spend themselves and you turn out good. And one day you stand back and look at the silver, and there is refined silver. And you can say, that's what we got weary for. But it's heartbreaking when you work the same amount and cry just as much and look at the silver and find it's reprobate silver. The bellows are burned and burned for nothing. Are you saved this morning? Then be what God wants you to be. Are you not a Christian? Then may I plead with you. Heed the bellows and come to Christ. Let us pray together, please. Our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. There's a little song that goes like this, only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Yielding completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way. Just a bit clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what His word commands. Only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. I'm talking to some teenager this morning who's on the borderline. I'm thinking now of a couple of boys I've been praying for. Good boys. Fine boys. But they could be refined silver instead of reprobate silver. I mean good fellows. Oh, the potential and the talent wrapped up in those boys. I've been praying for them lately. I'm thinking of 4 or 5 young girls. You're good girls. You're better than average girls. You're silver, but not refined silver. I've been thinking about you lately. I've been thinking about some families here in the church with the turn of the year. Good people, but you don't tithe. Good people, but you don't come on Wednesday night. Good people, but you never bring a soul down the aisle. Good people, but you quit your bus route. Good people, but you don't do what you used to. You mark it. One of these days, you keep quitting your bus routes. You keep quitting your Sunday school classes. You quit your soul winning. You quit your hard work. And one of these days, the Lord will say, the bellows are burned. I'll bring some more bellows in now. Brother Hiles, Brother Streeter, Dr. Biddings will move along. I'll take them on to heaven or put them somewhere else because the bellows are burned and the silver is not refined. Why don't you this morning in the first days of 1971 say, I'm going to be refined. I'm going to respond. I'm going to work. I'm going to take my class back. I'm going to build my bus route like it used to be. I'm going to get my department built like it ought to be. I'm going to be busy for God. So the bellows will not be burned.